Good day, good evening, good night to our listeners, wherever you are, wherever you're joining us. You've joined us on the 4IR South Africa podcast. And just to say it, so that we put it out there, one of the things that we are, in fact, our slogan, our tagline, is that we are attempting to inspire coordinated, inclusive response. And I'm here with my co-host, Ubraneo, and on our last podcast, we just gave our viewers and our listeners an overview of 4IR, where we are and why we are, why South Africa finds itself in the situation that it finds itself in. Ubraneo, can you tell us more about what we're talking about so that we can actually get into the content of today?
Into the content. No, thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity for us to discuss this,
yeah,
this podcast.
Let's do it.
As we had said in our previous
podcast
that this is a very important direction, that what our intention is to connect, is to connect the viewer, the listeners, to connect those with the interest, and is to also conscientize those that are not aware of exactly what this new development called the Fourth Industrial Revolution would mean,
what it entails,
to them. So we left it at obviously our intention to then unpack why South Africa specifically.
And we are making an analogy of a meteorite that's about to hit basically the country, the world,
this
thing called
4IR. Yes, yes. And of course, the signs have already been there.
Yes.
Because research that is coming out is concluding that South Africa is absolutely unprepared for this a new wave of applications of technologies to solve business and to solve human and to solve all other needs.
And by
of
unprepared,
society,
you mean our businesses and citizens?
I mean
as
businesses
well.
And society. And society. There are those businesses that are the sellers of this technology,
sure,
and of course they're starting to make a profit out of it.
Yeah. You know,
the ones that are selling the technology for artificial intelligence into banks and all those things.
And you wrote a blog about this. Tell us more about your blog.
So the blog really speaks, and it's in a discussion format,
okay,
which answers the question, why is South Africa only responding to the Fourth Industrial Relations now?
Revolution.
And how did we get here?
Yes.
So briefly, the blog starts trying to address that, you know,
the question. Yeah.
And it does that by providing, because of, you know, there's a lot you can speak about.
Yes.
But, you know, it speaks really about the two core important
aspects.
Okay. And we reflected on this on our previous
podcast
when we were speaking about, you know, the non-negotiables of a developmental state
that are needed for us to be able to respond effectively.
That even explain why countries like China, in fact, are reaping the rewards of this Fourth Industrial Revolution.
They've got the fastest growing GDP of any country in the world right now.
And in fact, they even had America
have
to launch, remember, When Donald Trump started a war with them with the Chinese, he started it on Google.
Yes.
Wanting them to license from Google for their hardware for Huawei.
Okay.
Why? Because America was losing more from the technology because it was not licensed per, you understand, per unit of hardware.
Oh.
It was now licensed, you know, in a manner that limits the Americans to make more money.
So, so these are some of the things that your blog is talking about.
In a sense, I'm just laying the foundation to say these are the countries that are participating in that industry
in a proactive way,
and in fact they are the leaders, they are the creators of that new world. You understand
all
what
right.
I'm trying to say?
Sure.
And they had to meet certain non-negotiables of a developmental state. I'll make an example now. So there is a study that was written recently or published recently by Accenture Africa Consulting. So this is like the Africa Consulting arm of Accenture, which is one of the advisory firms.
All right.
So they are multidisciplinary advisory firms. You want anything to do with mining, you go to them, they have got somebody to give you a view about what will happen. So this study really concludes, you know, this is what I find as an extremely horrific statistic, that South Africa will lose about 5.7 million jobs, which is 35% of all jobs in South Africa, if not digitally ready, in 7 years.
And the study was written when?
This is a study that was published just in February.
Of this year. Wow.
But it was published. But of course, it is a study that has been conducted over time.
So we're talking about 2026. Yeah.
Yes. So the leading person in that study was a lady called Dr. Rose Phillips.
Okay.
She's a specialist in future studies.
Mm.
So she says that the research shows that if South Africa can double the pace at which its workforce acquires skills relevant to human and machine collaboration, which is what the 4IR is actually
that's
demanding.
That's basically all that stands, that's on the up and arms right now.
Yes, it can reduce the number of jobs at risk from 3.5 million, which is 20% of all the jobs in South Africa.
Yes, you know,
the saddest part, we are talking about all jobs. We're not talking about a job in a specific industry.
The amazing thing is that you use the phrase reduce. In other words, it will still have an impact, and this is just now to try and get and reduce the impact of it.
Yes.
In other words, we still have a lot more to do to get to the point where we are even generating more jobs opposed to losing them.
Yes, in fact, statistically, it just means that we will, by 2025, have just reduced the job loss rate to just 2.5 million, meaning we'd have just in 7 years or so only protected 1 million jobs. Now make the math.
Being that, all right, we will definitely be bleeding jobs, but we'll have an increasing population on top of that. And not only that, we are currently training and skilling our students at university in the same old way that's not equipping them for where they will actually end up in the future.
Exactly.
That's a deficit of planning right there.
What you are just having here now is a situation where you are set, the meteor will already hit you in this way.
Yes. You know that's going to
happen. What you are doing simply now, you are mitigating the cost.
How much impact it's going to have.
How much impact it must have.
But it's definitely going to hit.
Definitely it will hit. Now it's even worse in a country where we're already looking at 29%
unemployment.
With 75% of those unemployed people
being the youth.
So here you are to lose 5.7 million jobs. 35% of all jobs in South Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very bad. But in any case, how they came to that? So they looked at the job categories.
Yeah.
So they would look at categories where, you know, there's human-like actions, you know, where literal leadership-related
roles
like, you know, consultants, thinkers, and whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And then your machine like
work,
like your routine work, picking up, loading into trucks,
at
factories, you know, people who do the transactions
now.
Well, the potential that robotics will then
replace. Be able to do that.
Yes. So this study then considered the potential of all jobs to categories that would be automated. And that's why it found that almost 35% of these jobs would be lost because they are susceptible to automation, to digitization. Okay? So, then we have a serious problem, because it means in South Africa, this 4IR will have, seriously, it will have winners and losers.
On a massive scale.
On a massive scale. So you would then have to decide whether, as a listener of the podcast, as we share this information, it is putting all of us in a situation where we need to recalibrate ourselves.
Yeah, because I think that's important for us to state that, look, guys, we're not trying to bring about an alarmist sort of platform here, but rather, before we can even get to the solutions, let's get a gravity of how, of what the problem is exactly, what situation are we finding ourselves in, because how can you ever solve something that you haven't acknowledged? And that's where we're starting with this podcast, to look at the facts about what are we facing, what's happening, and what's most likely to happen. And if we hope to change anything, and this is where we hope to be directing the conversation with the episodes that follow, that, okay, what can you do as an individual? Who to speak to? How to reskill yourself? How to do whatever it is that you're doing, be it as an entrepreneur or being employed or as a student? How can you move in a direction that's ultimately going to be investing in yourself for the future? Because definitely the future is coming. You just heard it here, where the information, the statistics, and the research is pointing at 2026, where we will be looking at a completely different world to what we're talking about right now.
Indeed, indeed. And in fact, to add, white collar,
yes,
and blue collar workers are at risk.
So it's not a question it's of not a, will disruption come to your industry, but rather when and in what form will it come?
More important that to conscientize the listener,
yes,
to conscientize this South African citizen, yes, or businessman, is to understand the potential impact and that, not only that, to understand that it is not the position you are in. Mm. It is the choice of the system that the company would buy to replace you.
So that's a question of in what form will it come?
Now I'm saying this because as the routine type of work will be replaced by automation mostly.
Which is most people's jobs, by the way.
Yes, but at the same time, they count even accounting, auditing,
telemarketers,
tax practitioners, construction people, you know, claims, almost administrative, all the administrative layer.
Yeah.
But what caught my eye was accounting and auditing, because those are, for all intents and purposes, what's the right word? High level jobs,
yes,
because you don't just become an accountant or an auditor to yesterday
overnight. Exactly.
Overnight, you know, these are scientific disciplines
that take years,
to study. But because of the nature of this, the practice and the discipline, it's repetitive
so
in nature.
So obviously, it's susceptible to automation.
Plus, at the same time, worst of all, if it includes mathematics.
Yes.
I mean, I don't even have to emphasize that. But the point, as you were saying, which I like, this is not really to scaremonger.
No, definitely.
It's really to, as we, when we took the initiative to learn and to see this thing for what it is, we got shocked, you know, that these are the implications
facts
that are around it. And so we just also want to present, of course, positively, because we believe this can address a lot of challenges, even in the youth.
Yes.
The opportunities that this 4IR brings. It is not bringing trouble only.
Mm.
It is bringing trouble to those who look at it as trouble.
Mm. And we're not prepared.
Unfortunately, it's like this. When the waters, the floods of the times of Noah came.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Noah became one of those that listened type of thing.
And tried to prepare himself for what's going to come.
We hope, because we know that this is a policy debate, a preparation that will impact people. It's a preparation that is happening behind them. And for obvious reasons, some people are just in corporate, some people are just working in spaces that don't allow them time. Nor even the problem has been that South Africa has not allowed people to understand the place of social consciousness. Yeah. It has not allowed people, yeah, except to vote. You understand? So some of the things that come are looked at as government's responsibility, because the fixation is that you have a government that is
the nanny state,
the nanny state government, one that has positioned itself out of apartheid, as we have been speaking the last time, that the preoccupation with the South African state is that it is too busy with administration, administering people's life, whether it's you.
And the individual doesn't see a need to get involved on a practical level.
Does not see his place, except maybe I want to be a businessman. Doesn't see the it's their place in the broader understanding.
So then we're talking about here, in as much as we talked about it last episode, if we're touching on it again, it's definitely an issue, this disconnect between the administrator who we've put in that position to be able to administer the solutions that we think we have, and the individual who's supposed to be generating those solutions and also using those solutions, which is the citizen now. That there's a massive disconnect there of social responsibility on the individual's part. And we said in our previous episode that, look, without social responsibility, we'd still be sitting with apathy today.
Yes.
In fact, you look at the progress of America, the progress of China, for example, it's individuals who are deciding to be the change that they want to see in the world by creating whatever needs to be created that they see, look, I can add value in this way, in that way, and as a result, their economies and their countries are growing.
This is a sad state of affairs, I can tell you. My brother Ntokozo, I can tell you, because government has not encouraged over time people to own their future and people to participate in the coining of their future. I say this again right now, that this is an opportunity for people to own this space of fourth industrial revolution, this communication, this understanding space, this space for them taking opportunities. We will have, of course, a lot of information we are sharing here. I know that there are SMMEs who wish to get into the technology space, but sometimes, and I've seen a lot of cases of people I've met, that I find them not even understanding where the sources of potential help is.
That part is probably the most disempowering part. Tell us more about
that. But that's the problem, because then it reflects on this very point I'm making, that there is a disconnect between how the government sees the citizens as potential
partners.
There's been that the mode of the apartheid state has been people want services. And there and there, those that have a sense of wanting to be...
to actually participate proactively.
We can let them in now and then. You understand?
Mm.
So I want to emphasize that point. That now blue and white collar workers really are going to be in trouble. So we need to start aligning ourselves with this change, which is even saying we have to reskill ourselves. So I want to say that the starting point here to change, if not to inspire, as we say, inspire people to start being much more conscious about social change that's happening around them and the opportunities that lie there for them. So I started in the blog trying to find these reasons. Why are we here? What's so different about us as South Africa now? Now I'm talking about the new South Africa. I understood the problems of the previous South Africa, because it was not meant to even have other citizens become citizens. And in fact, even the citizens that were citizens then,
okay,
were just recipients of services.
Mm.
Beautiful, bigger homes, clean up the streets so that these other people, we don't see them here in the night. You know, 6 o'clock, all of the darkies must be out of the towns, of the main towns.
Yes.
So they know the privilege they got out of the state that was developmental. So the concept then, the word there is developmental. It sought to give them a life, a quality of life that is even maybe at par with global citizens
standards,
and global standards. You understand? It's no just satisfying the basic needs. You know, for them it was even investing in their people. Because, for example, the people, yes, the people that did your Danel engineers, you know, designed one of the best attack helicopters in the world, the Roy Falk.
Mm.
And, you know, they even gave it, you see, just to give you the sense,
yeah,
it was built in apartheid era.
Roy Falk.
Roy Falk attack helicopter.
Yeah.
I mean, that is in the context of the global arms industry. It is a major thing,
and that's interesting to realize that it was a government that was not only involved in their own affairs, but they were competing globally, because you're talking about now a globally competitive machine that other countries would have thought, oh my gosh, that's really good, we need to have that.
Yes.
The same situation that we're finding now in our country, where the technology and, for example, the vehicles being generated, being produced by Europe, your German cars, that they're producing machines that are desirable to other nations. As a result, the economies are growing from that.
Because
had we maintained that sort of productivity, it would have put us in a very good position now, where we are creating things that are giving us the leverage to be able to be competitive globally.
At the global stage, the social order at the global stage is driven by competitiveness.
Productivity.
That, you see, competitiveness is an extremely important word in economics, because it separates countries, companies that cannot do and that are successful. Bottom line, even individuals.
If you're not competitive and productive, you're gonna fall by the wayside.
So now, for us to avoid falling by the wayside, whether we are employed and companies want to bring in forth industrial revolution unto us, or whether we want to go into business in this its business, the 4IR business, we need to reorientate our thinking.
Getting out of your comfort zone, basically, to make sure that in future you are still relevant.
Yeah, and breaking the mold of waiting for the state, waiting for this government to provide. You see, the Chinese took a very deliberate action in the 80s. What you see them as a machine today started somewhere. You know, their growth was not this high, to double-digit growth. No, it was not this high. Pre the economy taking off, they once had a financial crisis where they had over-invested in their people.
Yes.
And their people could not pay back, because even the banks were given a policy directive to fund SMMEs.
Now, here's a point that I'd need you to clarify for me and our viewers. Maybe they're asking the same question that I'm asking, that, wait a minute, this part of being able to position yourself in such a way that you are competitive even in the future, isn't that the province of the education system? And what happened now to what happened? Because obviously we were talking about accountants that for all intents and purposes, they see themselves as having equipped themselves. But for some reason now, the facility that they have is obsolete. That where's the disconnect? Because if I went to varsity or I studied whatever, I would think that that's what I was supposed to do.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, but whoever was telling you that you will do it in a context where there's no change was lying.
And that's the issue.
And that is where the issue is. It's because of the how do I put it, the sleeping and the lack of constant updating on trends of the world. You see, it's like South Africa was too closed in and has not fully awakened to its position in the global system of life.
And the individual was also like
even
that.
The individual is sleeping the same way as the government. The government interacts, our government interacts with other governments, you know, at the level of the economy.
Yeah.
And we are still, unfortunately, a state under repair, they say. We are also a state that is under assistance, okay?
Dependent on other nations, you mean?
Yes, because we still get the biggest envelope of assistance
in terms of foreign aid.
Foreign aid than other, like even not Zimbabwe.
Yes,
you understand.
Yes.
And in fact, we are considered the gateway. We are a gateway to Africa. Europe. We are a gateway to Africa.
All right.
From Cape Town to Cairo.
Yes.
You understand what I'm trying to say? Because we are the most advanced economy in Africa, and most infrastructure rich,
along with Nigeria, if I'm mistaken.
Along with Nigeria, that is why there's always this matter. But Nigeria, not in terms of infrastructure like South Africa, of course, but in terms of strategic importance.
So we're right up there in terms of what we.
We are right up there. That's why we are member of the G20. Which is a group of 20 countries which interact on a level of economic and social and political support. So they go together when there's a matter to be addressed in the United Nations. The G20 will vote this way. South Africa will vote this way. But think about how they discussed in the G20.
Yes.
It is part also of what they call the non-aligned movement, which are those that said, no, we see there are people that are partners to America. We see there are people that are partners to Russia. So we don't want none of it, because wars were being caused. Countries were being depleted because of the war between Russia and America in those times of the Cold War.
Yes.
So we are very important location in the globe and in the order of global life.
So there's a lot of potential in South Africa, and because obviously if there's a lot of potential in the country, there's a lot of potential in the individual, which is what we're trying to get the person to realize now, that look, this thing might be happening, you're not disempowered, you just need to know how to adapt yourself.
Exactly. So adaptability and responsiveness, unfortunately, becomes the only way South Africans can weather the storm that is coming in their own special small spaces, but also that they can be able to log on to
the trends and
the debate that is there. You see, this is a very special thing moment, because here is this thing that's coming on all of us, and it's interesting to know about. Unfortunately, South Africans interact now with 4IR at the level of what I call the user.
And that's the saddest part, because acts more, because the trends are acting more as distractions for the individual to keep them entertained, as opposed to them realizing that, okay, what does this mean for me specifically, that there is this platform called Facebook, that there is this platform called Twitter. What does it mean for me that there is AI? What can I do about it? Should I do anything about it? Perhaps that's maybe the first question that a person should be asking. I be doing something?
No.
Does it mean nothing to me?
Yeah. Now, you see, that is why we want to make sure that we give the perspective on which to make that to give yourself that answer.
Yeah.
And that is the gap we're trying to fill, because currently we're dealing at, this thing is being dealt at a high level, an elitist level.
Yes.
You know, the president has his thinkers. Okay?
Okay.
And there's an assumption that just because you got somebody from the so-called captain of industry.
Yes.
But that is industry at a higher level.
Mm.
These industries, the SMMEs who are not represented there.
Yes.
And nowhere to be seen.
And that's quite concerning.
Yes.
Because these are the individuals that are going to be affected, but they are not participating in the problem solving.
That's the point. That is why this portal and what drives us, even me as a development practitioner, my concern is exactly that the reason why our people, and I hate the word our people because this us and them is a problem.
Yeah.
Why we have citizens, why we have us as citizens and not the same as citizens in America. American citizens take charge. British citizens take charge.
There's social responsibility and social cohesion in everything.
No, they make social cohesion out of taking charge and not allowing government to hold. I'm not saying attack government, but what I'm saying
get
is
involved.
Get involved and government, in fact, that is how even the governments that have created such strong economies have done it. They have connected in that energy of people, not in the bad way, but to say, oh, you are concerned about your country.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah,
that's a powerful statement.
Come, bring that mind.
You are concerned in the state of affairs of your country. Because look, one of the traps that a person might fall into with this kind of talk is that, all right, are you expecting all of us to be politicians now? And that's not the question here.
It's not even politics.
The point here is that at whatever level you are at, whether you are employed or you have a business, in your particular industry, you need to have that perspective that, look, what needs to happen here in order for this thing to move along? There's an example that we were making the other day in our conversations, even while we were brainstorming this show, of how we were talking about how, for example, there's a lot of people sitting at home, they're unemployed, and the feeling that the person has is a feeling of disempowerment where someone must call them to give them a job. Now look at how the matriculants, for example, are in exams, that skill that you have of accounting, that's something that you could have marketed yourself and actually put yourself in a space where you're giving lessons to get involved in and to simply offer what you have to the greater community for the betterment, not only of yourself, but of your country, to say, look, I'm not going to expect help to come. I'm going to use the platforms and the technology that's there to get myself out there so that I can make a difference in whatever fashion I can manage.
In fact, how you put it simple, and I like that because it shows you that the fourth IR really is a time that provides us
with
really the opportunity, because
you have the power.
Yes,
because
here is this example we are using. A dejected graduate who can simply, you know, there are a lot of these young people that have made themselves bloggers.
Yes.
And blogging.
And vlogging. Look at us, podcasting.
It became an industry on its own.
And hence, those people are actually making proper careers that are actually changing the world
exactly.
On a massive scale.
That is what 4IR comes with. It comes with such opportunities, creating new industries.
This is powerful, and
creating new industries and increasing competitiveness. Because
this is powerful.
You know, you use that platform for anything. For anything. And so you see, a person can, it's a liberator if you want.
This is powerful because you know what? It removes that sense of I'm in a situation where, because remember in the first episode, we were talking about how we're not trying to say 4IR is bad. We're simply trying to say 4IR means this. And in addition to that, this is how you can interpret it.
In fact, this is,
you can interpret it from being disempowered, or you can interpret it from the perspective of someone who says, all these opportunities, I'm going to go for it.
Let me tell you, before, one would have to pay a lot of money to advertise a service they have.
Yeah.
By that I mean somebody that cooks quarter in
yes,
can WhatsApp it now.
Mm.
You know, instead of going to buy and take a photo and WhatsApp it.
Mm. They can have a page on Facebook.
Exactly. So
It's a liberator because it's a technology put out there that works at a minimal cost to the creator.
Sometimes they're completely free, by the way.
Yes, yes.
You can start a business completely
free. Yes, yes, because the creators of those platforms, they can make back their money, because if you're paid 1 cent as the creator of that page,
yes,
of that Facebook,
yes, Facebook page, and your Instagram page,
yes, and just for people to touch your page, you're paid maybe, let's say, 2 cents.
Yeah, the normal,
how many people are there? So that is why it is almost free in the eyes of the user. It is a free thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
But so, the amount of value that it generates for the individual.
For the individual.
And the potential for something that you can start completely for free. And if you scale it right, the potential of what you're capable of
doing is uncapped. Look at that young man.
Selling that God.
The owner of Facebook.
Oh, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Yes. Young, 20-odd years at the time he started Facebook.
Yes.
Look at it, man. And what it was started by who started it? Not government.
It was an individual.
My point
is, saw a need and acted using skills that, remember now, it's not like Mark Zuckerberg had qualified as some massive programmer somewhere. Mm-hmm. He saw something that needed to be done and he acted on it.
You know what he did? He took advantage of the fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah.
What he did, he said, this can be applied in this way,
and that consciousness is the bottom line, and in closing because we've actually run out of time, you know, that type of consciousness is exactly what our tagline is talking about, where we aim to inspire a coordinated and inclusive response.
Yes.
Where you as the individual can actually say, look, regardless of my being employed or not, regardless of my being an entrepreneur or not, what opportunities are there for me, and what can I do, not only for myself, but for my country, my nation, and the world at large, to foster within yourself, for example, a spirit of change and empowerment, and to actually spread that out so that you can make a difference for everyone involved.
More important, my dear co-host, Ntokozo.
It's actually the first time he just called me co-host, guys, by the way. So this is like a tick for me. I've actually made it to co-host now. I'll put that on my CV. You're saying.
So simply, we are at a point where citizens are forced to access change and own it.
Come on.
Now, I use the example of Facebook to say, here is a man who first understood, and this is where we're trying to channel, and not channel in a negative way, to channel the discussion, to be about giving a broader view.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We didn't get to some of the points I wanted
and
to
we'll
raise.
Get to on the second podcast.
Yes.
The third one. Wow. We're actually going to our third one. Look at us.
So the point being that, at least we lay the foundations for people to understand broadly. You know, when there was a time where citizens were shut out, this is a time where citizens have to be included. That's why the word inclusive. So we are trying to coordinate giving people information. We're trying to coordinate a process where we can link people up with the relevant processes they must follow, and give them updates of what government
of
is thinking.
Yes. Come on. Thank you very much, listener. We want to thank you for listening to us again, and we look forward to actually having you on the third podcast. This is 4IR South Africa, inspiring inclusive coordinated response. Peace out.